Give you all a warm word of welcome to our service today. Any of you visiting with us, we do give you a special word of welcome. And it's my privilege to welcome on your behalf to the pulpit today, first of all, Mr. Stanley Kyle, who needs no introduction, of course, to us, and also to Mr. Willie Cowan of Belfast City Mission. And Willie and Stanley are here today because this is our Belfast City Mission service, and as well as sharing God's word, they'll be sharing a wee bit about the work in the City Mission. And any loose offering today will be going towards the work of the City Mission and the offering within the envelopes as well, with the City Mission envelopes. Also to say this is Remembrance Sunday, and there'll be a retiring offering for the Earl Haig Fund today as well. You can give to that on the way out as normal. Our service tonight will be in Trinity, and Dr. Hugh Pritchard will be preaching on that great passage, Crucified with Christ, in Galatians chapter 2. And we really do encourage you to come along tonight and make the Sunday evening service, wherever it is in the village, a regular part of your Sabbath observance. And there'll be a creche and children's church as normal, so we'd love to see families coming along tonight. Tomorrow evening, a congregational meeting in regards to our Presbytery consultation, and we really would encourage everyone to come along tomorrow night. There will be a time of worship, and then different members of session committee will be doing a presentation about the life of our congregation, where we are, where we're going, and members of Presbytery will be there taking part as well. So 7:30 tomorrow night, and really encourage good attendance. Apologies to Anchor Boys that we are clashing with you tomorrow night, and to leaders. It was planned to be on another night, but this was the only night that suited Presbytery, and so it was out of our hands in that sense. So tomorrow night, though, 7:30, congregational meeting. On Wednesday, midweek at 8 p.m., and just please take note, we're starting a new series in the book of Habakkuk. Maybe you're not in the habit of coming to the midweek. We really would encourage you to think seriously of coming along on Wednesday nights to start this new series. The book of Habakkuk deals with such questions as, why does God allow evil things to happen, and where is God when these things are happening? So it's a very relevant book for all our lives and for today. Please take note, finance subcommittee meets after the midweek on Wednesday. Please take note of the announcement regarding Longstone Primary School open night. The open night date has been changed. It's not on Thursday the 18th. It will now be tomorrow night, Monday the 15th, open from 6 to 8 p.m. Parents of all prospective pupils in the future, you'll be very welcome to come along and to see what Longstone has to offer. Please take note of the reaching out announcement. If you can help with doing cups of tea on the Friday morning with some folk who come in and are willing to come along, men willing to come along to act as sort of door duty and chat with the men as well. There's a list in the vestibule with dates on it, and if there's a date that suits you, please put your name down there. We're looking for a couple of folk to do tea every week and one person to act as sort of door duty. That would be very welcome if you can help with that. New free will offering envelopes, if you're looking like some new ones, if you haven't got them before for next year, please put your name on the list in the vestibule. And just to mention too, to folk, new communicant members, to be a voting member of the church, and we'll be having election of committee shortly, as well as being a communicant member, you have to contribute to the funds of the church through free will offering, and we encourage you to do that. Those are all by way of announcement. As we come to worship God, let us all join together in prayer. Oh God, our Father, we praise you that although you're a God who is high and exalted and in so many ways removed from us, in your dear Son, the Lord Jesus, you have come so wonderfully near. We praise you that he is the Word of the Father. And Father, we just ask that today that he would come and he would minister to us through your word. Father, bless Stanley and Willie as they take part in our service. And Lord, use them mightily in your hands so that, Father, we would be a people who indeed would be drawn closer to Christ and Father, be a people trusting in the Savior and living in his will. Grant it, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen. Our opening praise is prayer sheet number 4. It'll be on the screen. You're the word of God the Father. Let us stand and remember we're standing on the first note as we praise God. As this is Remembrance Sunday, we normally have an act of remembrance when we remember those who have fought and particularly those who have died for our country and for our freedom. Let me just explain very briefly to the boys and girls what we do. Boys and girls, we stand for a minute in quietness. And during that minute when we're quiet, we just don't shut off our minds, but we think of how people have died for us to be free. And also it's a good minute to pray and quietly in our hearts thank God for those who have died and others who have been injured so we are free today to live and to worship God. And also we use that moment of quietness to pray for the families of those who have lost loved ones who have died to keep us free. We remember those like soldiers, policemen and others who have suffered and died for our land. So I'm going to ask you now to please stand. And let's all keep really quiet as we remember those who have fought and died for our country. Let us all stand in silence.
Well, that passage that Stanley read, it's a great passage because of the contrast between a religious person and someone who is known as a sinner. And that's a good division sometimes that you can see easier than many other things that separate people. Religious people and those who understand they're sinners. And probably this building is maybe divided along that lines. Maybe there are people here today who are religious and who think that religion can rescue you, religion can make you right with God, and there are those who have realized that they are sinners in need of a Savior, just like the woman in the passage. But it's also appropriate because in our city today, there are lots of people arriving who at times are not really the most welcome by society. Like the woman coming into the Pharisee's house, she probably wasn't the most welcome person in the house that day. She was known just for her sin, notorious for her sin, and so the Pharisee was probably uncomfortable that someone had arrived who wasn't in his social circle and who was known for this way of living. And in our city, lots of people have come now who are probably not as welcome as they should be and need to be. And lots of them have come to us. For some reason, God has sent lots and lots of people who have come across the world from everywhere that you can think of, and they have landed up at our door. And there might be lots of reasons for them being there, but for me, what I think is this is an opportunity for the gospel. And so that's what I keep at the forefront of my mind, an opportunity to bring the gospel to people who have never heard the gospel. And there are lots of people like that who will be with us tomorrow. And the little class is growing more and more, women especially, and Muslim women coming to those classes for English with their children. And not just for to learn English, but for lots of different reasons, for support and help and just needs that they have, maybe that things have happened to them, sometimes horrible things, and they need help and they need support. God has given us an opportunity to bring the gospel to people who in many ways no one else really wants to deal with or be bothered with, like this woman. And it began through one lady in particular, a Somali girl who arrived maybe close to 2 years ago just on our doorstep for help. And she has had horrible things happen to her, terrible things. And her family are... her father murdered, her brothers, her husband. Lots of things that she has to try and live with and deal with, but she herself tacked and managed to leave her home and come across the world, landed up in our city. Someone sent her to the cafe for help. And through helping her in what really was miraculous ways that God worked in helping her in her life, lots more people have come when they get to here. So we didn't have a plan. We didn't set out a program, and we didn't really know what we were doing, I suppose, in many ways. God, He did it. But we did pray a lot, and we prayed a lot that the people would need us. So there's a good prayer if you want to be involved in winning people for Jesus Christ. Pray that the people who are lost, that somehow, for some reason, they might need you. And then through needing you, hopefully you'll be able to tell them about the greater need that they have, their need of a Savior. But this woman, Fatima, she's a very strong Muslim girl. And I was in seeing her there during the week. And I'd been talking with another man, another Somali man, who phoned me up a few weeks ago, asked me to help him. Then he came again, he wanted to talk about God. And then he was there last Monday, and he was talking about the nature of Jesus Christ and how he had been reading the Bible and how he had understood that Jesus is more than human, and that he has a special place, and that Muslim people haven't begun to realize this, he says, and Somali people don't understand, William, what I have been reading in the Bible. And he told me all of what he'd been thinking. He actually said, I'd like to come to the services, and I don't want to come for more than 1 week. I want to come for more than 1 week. I don't want to come for just 1 week. Is it okay if I come for maybe 4 or 6 weeks? Imagine someone saying that to you. He said, because you can't learn everything in 1 week. You can't understand what's really being said in 1 week. You need to come for more than that, longer than that. And he said, I'll come and listen to what's being said. And when I talked to Fatima, not about him, because you can't tell them what the other one's thinking, because they're very, very suspicious people. And especially if they thought someone was going to leave Islam. I said, I was talking to a man, and he was telling me that he has learned that Jesus is more than God, Fatima. He's a liar, she said. Just like that. He's a liar. If he's a Muslim and he's saying that, he's a liar, William. Don't believe him. And this girl would be closer to me than anyone in that community. And yet she's still so hardened to the message of the gospel. I told her time and time again, God brought you to us, brought you across the world to my door, and he has helped you, Fatima, and he's done these things for you. We're in the process of trying to get her son, who she hasn't seen since 2006, here to Northern Ireland to be reunited with his mum. And we're trying to help her to do that. But still, she is hard against the gospel. So in some ways she's like the Pharisee. Even though she's unwelcome by our society, she's trusting in religion. And she'd do anything for religion. And when the fast of Ramadan was going on, she stuck to it rigorously. More than anyone I know. And yet she's one of the nicest, sweetest girls you would ever meet, lost. Lost in her sin. And it's that lostness that you have to keep as a Christian at the forefront of your mind, their need of a Savior. Because in many ways, you and I could get hardened to all these things as well when we see floods of people coming into Europe and into the United Kingdom and then into our little country. We could end up being hardened to these things and miss the opportunity that God gives us. Lots of people will phone Fatima Adam up and say, can you ask William to do this? Can you ask William to do that? And I'd say to her, why do they do that, Fatima? Why do they ask you? She said, in our country, when it was run by militia, and now it's run by Islamic militants. But she says it's still quite similar. If you know someone who's in power and you're a member of their family or you're related to them, then you can use that influence and people will ask you to ask them to help them. That's the way they're thinking. That this is like Somalia and you can't go and speak to William. You have to go through some kind of conduit or mediator. Lost, ignorant, unaware even of the love of God and the mercy of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, how we care about them. But more and more now, people will call you and directly and ask you to do this thing and that thing and the other thing and want to speak to you, need assistance. You had an email this morning at 5:30 in the morning from a man living in Somalia. William, can you help me get out of Somalia? I'll run that past Stanley tomorrow and we'll see what we're going to do. Maybe he can go and I'll stay at home. A man in Somalia sending me an email, 5:30 in the morning. Help me to get out of this country. He says, you can't live in this country. It's like hell on earth. Lots of these people who we're dealing with, who'll be there tomorrow, have left it in the last 2 years. Women without their children, without their husbands, families estranged, separated from one another, not knowing if their families are alive or dead, coming along for help. That's God at work. And after they do the little English class, and then the kettle goes on, and of course they're Africans, so they have all day, and we have even longer than that to talk to them. It always comes round to talking about God. What an opportunity. And they want to talk, and they're interested, and they want to know and what you think. How can you have peace? You know, on Wednesday in Mecca, they'll sacrifice animals to reenact the sacrifice of Abraham when he brought Isaac to the altar and God provided a lamb. And they'll reenact that in Mecca. And they think this is fantastic. Not realizing what it symbolizes, what it points to. But again, what another opportunity to talk to them about that. Now, we have been in that little hall from September. They've tried to refurbish it. It's quite a big building, and it's going to be used for lots of things, as Stanley said to you. But we brought a man along, and we had known him from the city. We met him through another boy, an Iranian boy, who was converted in 2008 in September in the cafe. He brought his friend. He was converted 2009 in the cafe, both Muslim boys. And this boy, his name's Ali, he came along and he was converted in Kimberley Street in 2010. Just there a few weeks ago in the month of September at a Thursday evening meeting. What do I know about Iran? I've never been to Iran. I've never been to any of these places. They're pinpoints on a map to me. But now those countries have come to us. And in some ways, as Presbyterians, and you're sitting here today as Presbyterians, our view of mission in when we think about these countries, it's just little pinpoints on a map somewhere. But now the world is here, and the people from everywhere in the world are here. And I wonder what way you're thinking today about all these things. I wonder how you, like the Pharisee, thinking, this is going to ruin our country. All these people coming in, and they're getting all the houses, and they're getting all the benefits. This is the way people talk. You know, a refugee is given £5 a day to live on. And tomorrow, many of them will buy a day ticket, which costs £2.90. That's £2.90 out of their £5, so that they can come to Kimberley Street. And so they've got £2.10 to do them the rest of the day. And I wonder how we could manage on... My wee girl couldn't even manage on £2.10, and she's only 10. So it's not the way the media portrays it. People are coming from awful situations, horrible things happen to them, and God is giving us the opportunity to speak to them. If you lived in Iran and you became a Christian, the law says that you should at the very least be put in prison. There's an apostasy law enacted by the Islamic regime in Iran, and at the very least you'll be imprisoned for leaving Islam and some people suffer even more than that. Ali is telling me that in the hostel where he lives, a Somali boy is saying to him every day, "You must come back to Islam." And that boy came on Friday to the little hall for help and never said anything about his opposition to what we're doing. God making him, putting him in such a situation that he needs the help of the people of God. And that's why we're there. So we're encouraged. We can speak freely to them about Christianity, people who have never heard. There's a little girl who comes. Her name is Shukri. She phoned me up and said, "Can you help me?" Took her along, got her some help with the things that she needed. She came along to the little hall one lunchtime, talking about Christianity, talking about the way of salvation. And then she said in the middle of the conversation, "William, do you have a newspaper?" I said, "What for? What do you want a newspaper for?" She said, "I need a newspaper. It's time to pray, and I need something to kneel on." So I said, "Look, if I went to the mosque and I said I want to pray to Jesus Christ here in the mosque, what would they say?" She said, "Well, if it was up to me, you'd be welcome." I said, "I know, but what would the Arabs in the mosque say?" But I said, "Shukri, if you want to pray, you go ahead and pray. If that's what you believe, you go ahead." So sincere. And when she finished praying, she went into a little room and put the paper down towards Mecca. I said to her, "Do you pray 5 times a day, Shukri?" She said, "Yes, absolutely. I stick to my religion." I said, "I want to ask you something. If your children said to you, 'I'm only going to speak to you 5 times today,' what would you think?" She said, "Well, your children want to talk to you all the time." And she said, "I suppose it wouldn't be very nice if your children only talked to you 5 times a day." Now, maybe some of you are thinking, "I wish it was less than that." I said, "God is the Father, and you can talk to him anytime. 5 times, it's not very much to talk to your Father 5 times a day for a minute, 2 minutes. What kind of relationship is that, Shukri, with God?" Because you see, it's not about a relationship. It's just an ideology, just following the rules of religion in the vain hope that they might find peace. You know, if you lived in Mogadishu, there's no churches, there's no missionaries, there's no Bibles, there's no gospel. And southern central Somalia is controlled exclusively by an Islamic group linked to Al-Qaeda. There's no witness, no mission. And yet, lots and lots of those people will come through the doors of our center. That's God at work. It's quite funny. Last Christmas, we had a Christmas dinner for them, and over 50 came to it in the little cafe. And we squeezed them in, Stanley and me. None of them could get out for the toilet because they were in like sardines. And Stanley was able to pray as a Christian to all those Muslim people, praying in front of them to the God of the Bible. And my little daughter played the violin, a few Christmas carols. That's the opportunity. Even in your mind, they think that's not much, but for us and for them who've never heard the gospel, what an opening. So when we go tomorrow, they'll call us and they'll come and they'll have this need, that need, and the other need. But their greatest need, Savior. They're like the woman in that sense. They're lost. Only Jesus can rescue them. They're maybe not wanted by our society or our country in many ways. They're a burden. People see them that way. but they have a greater burden themselves, the burden of their sin. And only Christ can rescue them. Could I say to you, if you're religious, like the Pharisee, and want to talk about Jesus and talk about what he's teaching, because that's what the Pharisee did. He even invited Jesus to his home for dinner. But he wasn't interested in being exposed as a sinner. We're all sinners. Doesn't matter the color of our skin. Doesn't matter our ideology. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. So pray for these people. Pray for Fatima Adam, especially. Because I don't think God is in the business of wasting our time with people. And the hardest heart can be changed, and she can be changed, and all of them can be changed, and that's what we hope for and pray for, but pray with us. Thank you, those who have helped us. Many, many people have been to the place and come round the place and did little bits and pieces of work and supported us. Thank you so much. Keep praying. But pray also that God would use you as a Christian. You're not any different to me. I'm not any better than you. God can use you too. God can open up a door of opportunity amongst people in need for you as well. And that's a great thing to be able to do, to serve God in that way. So thank you.